I've got rambling on my mind. I've got rambling, I've got traveling on my mind. I still love you, pretty baby, but you treat me so unkind. When I first met you, baby, you treated me like a king. When I first met you, pretty baby, you treated me just like a king. Yes, we've been together so long, until my little love don't mean a thing. But you treat me so unkind.
From Belzoni, Mississippi, blues pianist Otis Spann with I've Got Ramblin' on My Mind. It's from his 1960 album, Otis Spann is the Blues, and I don't disagree at all. In fact, he is regarded as one of the greatest blues pianists of all time. He had a short career, though. He died in 1970 at the age of 40. He died of liver cancer. He was posthumously elected to the Blues Hall of Fame in 1980. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and it's Free Your Mind Friday. This is your forum, and you talk about whatever it is you want to talk about. But it would be great if you had a particular opinion, and not be a generalist, but come on in with your fire directed at something that you either agree about or don't agree about. So that's the one rule we follow on Free Your Mind Friday. You should have a specific point of view about something. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. 888-874-4888. We start in Baltimore today with Marie. Hello, Marie. You're on the air.
Hello, Latrice.
Hi.
I don't know if I have one point of conversation about Baltimore, because Baltimore is jumping. And I have a few things to say. I'll try to be as fast as I can. I wanted to say this thing. This was not about Baltimore per se, Monday, when you had a good show. But someone had said, and I copied it down, the alpha male will lead you into war. The white American tribe is against the black and brown tribes. That's what I wanted to say Monday, in reference to what your talk was about. Now, a big thing in Baltimore is the new Baltimore bus system, what they call the Baltimore Link, and the Link stinks. And others may call it the Baltimore dislocation. There are a few bus routes. Well, first of all, they've changed the old route to new routes. And there are routes that no longer run a long distance from straight down to downtown. And I live on one of those. And we have to get off and seek other transportation. It takes two different transportations to get down to downtown city. And one person worked at a job for 20 years, and she now has quit her job because of the poor transportation, which was advertised as faster. The new Baltimore transportation system costs $135,000 to change. And people are asking, why did they change the old system? And people are having, like me, to take two transportations to get downtown. The bus drivers are unhappy, too, about this situation. It's just not the passengers. Bus drivers only got one day for training. One day. Bus drivers don't know where to drive. One passenger got on the bus and asked about the driver a question, and he said, I'm new. I just got on the bus, and I don't know where I'm going. If you can believe that.
Oh, wow. What did you mean by the alpha male the white tribe and the black tribe?
You know, I didn't know who I heard this from. I said, maybe you said it a while back, but those are not my words.
Those are not mine either.
I copied this from someone because I would have never said this, I don't think. So I can't help you on that.
Well, thank you.
I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. I wish I knew.
No, I was trying to figure out what it meant and in what context and what it meant when it was said. Well,
that's
anyway.
Want me to continue with the bus ride?
You can, but we have a lot of people queuing up already.
Okay. Let me say here. My second transportation yesterday was a subway, and I met a lady from California who was on the subway, and she was talking to someone, and I asked her what she think about Baltimore City, and so she said, it sucks. So I was prepared to get up out of my seat to get off the next stop. And then she told me, you have on gang colors.
Oh, wow.
That they wear in California, which was a turquoise sleeveless blouse or whatever and beige pants. And then I had a black sun hat on. And she told me if I wore a black sun hat out in California near a bus stop, I would be shocked. And then your friend Ben Carson was in Baltimore this week saying nothing to the people that it matters about housing, only talking to the big wigs like our mayor, Mayor Pugh. And I don't know why he even came here. I heard that he wants to turn housing into private housing.
Oh, that's already being done in Harlem, I know. Many units have been already converted for, you know, new people to come in to help gentrify the neighborhood, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But that's already being implemented.
Okay, that's up there in New York, but they want to do the same thing here, I guess, in Baltimore. And people are wondering, in reference to the buses again, and I'll end up shortly, that we may have problems with this in reference to 4th of July coming up next week. And somebody already shot off guns while I was sleeping last night, or really in the morning, about two shots. So when they start shooting in this city before 4th of July, they're getting ready for a big 4th of July. That's all, dear. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Marie. Thanks so much. From Brooklyn, Justice, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Yatrice.
Hello.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Okay, I'm hanging in.
Good.
How about you?
Well, same here. A lot's been going on over the past several days. I've been listening and off to your program, of course, every day. And first of all, I have to give you kudos for your jazz selection. I would hope you put up a playlist at some point. I'm always writing down the information and going and buying the CDs. But thank you so much for that. But
thank you.
You're welcome. On to the matters, the pressing matters of the day, which involves, of course, Mr. Trump. Every day I wake up, it seems there's always something and that makes you even more angry. And I've taken to heart what you have mentioned to and advised your listeners about. In these times, it now is down to your own survival, survival of yourself, survival of your family, your friends, people important in your life. As we see, all the rules have been thrown out. And now, to whatever extent we can, we have to make our own rules to survive and have some kind of future and peace of mind. And so whatever, you know, playing within the lines as much as possible without drawing the full weight of the powers that be down upon us, we have to take measures to protect ourselves and to look to the future. Because there was a show on TV several years ago, and the lady at the end would tell people, you leave with nothing. And if we continue to play by these same rules, we'll all leave with nothing at the end of the day. So those are my comments, and so thank you so much, and many blessings to you and the audience. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Ali, you're on the air from New York.
Hi, Yatrice. How are you doing?
Okay, how about you?
Well, I'm busy here in New York. I just wanted to say hello, give it a shout out to the PRN audience. And I just wanted to say three things real quick. One is that you just mentioned what is being done in Harlem. I have been one of those people who have gone into some of those units that they have been refurnished to rent at a higher market price, right there on 116th Street. Where there used to be an area, well, it still is an area, but I know they've been pushed out, people from the African continent. I'm not talking about African Americans, but they have a lot of shops in that area, and the buildings, mm-hmm. which is very low, they have been redone. And I went to see one unit because the way that they're trying to get people on those units is that they have this, they don't tell you, but they have this lottery. Where you come up in the lottery and then you go and see, they show you the unit. They show us the unit. And if you see what they do, we just have to refuse. First of all, they're very high price, but the way that how they look, it wasn't really for our family. But I just wanted to say that. Two things that I wanted to say. The first one is that yesterday you had a lady who called, I don't know if she called from Queens. I think she was talking about Crowley. I think that's her state senator. Do you remember the lady?
Yes, she was from Queens.
Yes, from Queens. Yes. This is something that I thought about it when she was talking about, because as you know, I'm an activist and I'm out there. Another thing that she could do is to, once in a while, to go in front of his office, but it's, she doesn't need to have a very big group of people. She only needs to have two or three people. And be standing in front of the office, and if she can afford to have something, some headlines on a piece of paper, and when people passing by, just to give it to them. That is scares the hell out of a lot of these politicians. We did it with Viverito. She's the city council. She's the head of the city council here in New York City. And I have to tell you, there were only five people, and they have about 10 cops. The office called the prison, and about 10 cops showed up, and we were about five people. So that's something else that she could do, and she should do it more than once. And she should show up with two people the first time, and the next time she should show up with five people. And then she should show up with seven people because they think that more people will be coming the next time. And she puts what is her demand for him to give her a face-to-face meeting. that's another thing that she could do. I know that you gave her a lot of different ideas, but this is something that she should do. And you don't need a lot of people. We have done it. But my last comment will be about something that you talk about. I think it was sometime this week about these families getting money from the taxpayer money when one of the loved ones is killed by the police department.
Yes.
See, one of the things that is very sad about the whole thing is about the people that they protest and they get charged. Those people, they are being left behind. And these people, they get the money, the family member, and then you don't hear from them ever again. And the saddest thing is a case in Baltimore where I don't know what happened with that case, but the kids were was facing 12 years in Baltimore. And a lot of people in Ferguson also got arrested. And these people, we don't hear about them ever again. And the reason that I'm telling you this, because during the Kimani Gray, when he was murdered here in Brooklyn, I saw these young people being arrested one night. And I felt really, really sad because we don't know what happened with these kids when they get arrested. And this
you make
is something
a very,
that...
very good point. I do know that in the case of Ferguson, this was one of the things that I noted. The only organization that I knew that got involved was the ACLU. They went down to the police station to get these young people out, and they basically themselves, they appointed themselves to do this job of seeing to the legal rights of the young people who were arrested because they were in demonstrations. So that much I know. I don't know about the other situations, but that is a major point. When people put themselves on the line, I guess the attitude is, well, you know, you knew what you were getting into, and people just move on and leave these incarcerated people very much, you know, at the mercy of the system, and we don't know what happens to them. And that's a very important point you raised. Very, very important.
And it bothered me. It has bothered me since I was there during the Kimani Gray protest that night. Because every time that I hear these people getting money and they disappear, it's like, yeah, we got our thing, and that's it. We don't care about you. And it bothered me. That's why I stopped going to these protests when somebody's getting killed, because I get very upset about these kids getting a record. My son is just turned 27 less than a month ago, and I don't want him to get a record. So this is something that it has been bothering me, and I just had to put it out there. Not only they get the money and they disappear, but these people, now they don't only have a record, we have no idea what is happening to them. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excellent point. Excellent point. And we have to keep that in mind. The only organization that I know of, there may be more, but the only organization I know that consistently deals with this very issue is the ACLU and other nonprofit organizations, some churches, and some people themselves. You know, they're not affiliated with any particular organization, but they feel compelled to be witnesses to what's going on, and they show up in the hope that their very presence will, you know, keep the possibility of things going wrong very low. But that is a very good point. Excellent point, and I thank you for raising it. From Chicago, Henry, you're on the air.
Hey, you trees, how's it going?
All right, how about you?
All right. Doing okay. Just wanted to quickly update you on, some of the grants and stuff that we have.
Henry, we're getting a lot of interference. Maybe you're in a strange location with lots of crosses. So try, if you can, if you have a handheld phone, to just speak directly into it, because we're getting a lot of interference. And your voice is just so marvelous. Okay. We cannot have this kind of interference.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Not much to report on the grass level movement. We're still, actively boycotting the beauty salon Musha. And I would actually be remiss not to mention the name of Carolyn Ruff, who is part of our organization, who basically initiated the boycott of that particular store. She's been out there for 107 days now. Even on days when we're not out there. Yes, she is very much into this. And like I said, she was the initiator of this. And so I wanted to, put her name out there and let, everybody know that she has been the initiator and she has kept on this. And we have supported her 100%, And, I go out there on some weekends where, if I'm not busy, I can, I can support her. But she also has gotten statistics on the business, and she basically said that the business is hurting very much. So, there are less and less customers coming into it. So it shouldn't be too long before they start to suffer and basically might have to close down pretty soon.
Before you go on, let me ask you to give a very short synopsis of what this is all about, what you're talking about.
Okay. So earlier this year, there was a video that surfaced in regards to a young woman who was beat, who was basically, how should I put it, physically accosted by a Korean store owner in South Carolina. And what we discovered was the store owner has franchises across the country, one being here in Chicago. And what we did was we decided that we was not going to support that beauty supply because of the fact that they basically kind of disrespected our people, and they've been disrespecting our people for a long time. So we are actively boycotting, trying to shut down these businesses in regards to economic boycotting and, hopefully turning people away from these businesses and actually supporting black-owned beauty supplies, because we do have black-owned beauty supplies in black neighborhoods that, need to be supported. So that's the quick synopsis of that. But, what's disturbing to me, coming from, from where I'm at right now, I mean, we've got a lot of stuff going on here in the Chicagoland area in regards to, we got the Jason Van Dyke trial that's going to be happening pretty soon. We got the Illinois economic budget. They seem to can't pass the budget for like the last 2 years. And also to the CPS crisis that's going on here in regards to money. And apparently a couple of weeks ago, Ron borrowed some more money to get Chicago Public Schools into more debt. But what's disturbing is the report that was reported about the declining population in Chicago. I guess apparently Chicago has taken the biggest hit amongst the major cities in declining population, which is African Americans were the most hit. And I guess what's disturbing to me about it is, whether people are getting forced out, some people are just choosing to just leave. And, it just kind of like deflates my spirit when, people just kind of give up the fight, And I know a number of people who have moved out of the Chicagoland area because of the fact that all this stuff is going on, in Chicago, and nobody's choosing to stand and fight anymore. So, I mean, it's kind of disturbing to me if,
I imagine that it would be a discouraging thing to witness, but you always have to try to see things in perspective. This wouldn't be a surprise to you if you really look at the broader picture. This very thing is happening all over the country. In cities, in rural areas, it's happening. The systematic emptying of spaces for reoccupation by a different class of people. Mm-hmm. And whereas none of these things that are forcing people out were dealt with because it fit really neatly into the pattern that they wanted to follow. You look first at Michigan, okay? Chicago follows what happened in Detroit and other places in Michigan. The population of Detroit and other cities, predominantly African-American cities, is at its lowest point in a couple of decades. So the program is working quite well. These cities are targeted. They are deliberately underserved. That means you just heard in Baltimore about how it takes several hours now to get from point A to point B. Mm-hmm. And everything is being done to just tell people, don't even bother. When it is really fixed, then we will see an entirely different population in Baltimore. This is how they'll do it. They'll put in the infrastructure while the black community is there. They'll work out all the kinks. By the time they work out all the kinks, a whole different population will be there who, in the eyes of the system, deserve better. See?
Yep.
And they will be performing at peak, or at least close to peak, because a whole new generation, a whole new population will be there, and they deserve, they deserve an entirely different quality of life. Just today in your city, the commander-in-chief has formally initiated federal occupation forces in Chicago.
Yep, we are expecting the federal agents to be here.
Okay, so that is the answer to systematically emptying the city of Chicago. After they clear the city of the undesirable population, they will introduce everything that blacks had been asking for decades will suddenly be available.
And then
you see the business sector responding, more restaurants opening, that kind of thing, while the schools are being shut down. And Rahm Emanuel, your mayor, is giving every explanation as to why things can't be fixed.
And you trace who is the political party in charge of these cities?
Hello. Hello.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
And none other than the mayor, who was a high level, he was a chief of staff of mm-hmm. such a party in Washington, D.C. You know, and he was being groomed to be president of the United States.
Yep, but we as black people keep supporting this party.
That's correct. Yeah. It's the great, wonderful party.
Yes.
But you see, this is how it works. Cities that, they did experience downturns and they were hit hard during those times. But it was also a very convenient period. It dovetailed so nicely that people didn't suspect anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so we short on cash, so we have to economize. We short on cash, so we have to close these institutions. We short on cash, so we have to merge schools. What was going on really was a consolidation of effort by all these different departments. The ultimate goal was to empty the city and then start all over again.
Yeah.
Start all over the way it ought to have started from the beginning. You see, there was that interim period there where you had the illusion of inclusion. And you know, like the way the Democratic Party is revamping, which means that it hit rock bottom because the plan was in effect. We hand over the leadership at precisely the time when the party had nothing to offer, nothing to work with. Then they say, well, we need some help. We need to change. They put some symbolic people to head up agencies or head up organizations. They have no money. They have no resources. They can't do anything. And then it's reversed. They say, well, we have to revamp again to keep pace with the times. And they go back to the old way of doing things. Because by then, the infrastructure is in place. And they can conveniently cast blame on these people who just can't handle leadership. They can't handle things. So we need to change up again.
Yep.
So that's what's going on in Chicago. But what do you make of this plan to militarize the city?
Well, I mean, you know, it is... I mean, Chicago, just like with other cities, already have been militarized by its own police department. As you know, millions of federal dollars have been pumped into, you know, police departments across the, you know, across the country to buy, you know, tanks and other things that, you know, that shouldn't even be, you know, shouldn't even be used, you know, in, you know, in a city, you know. So this is just probably just, you know, Donald Trump's, you know, way of basically, you know, giving us the reality that, hey, you know, I'm going to militarize it even more now. So I'm going to be sending bodies there instead of sending, you know, more machine guns and more tanks for, you know, the police departments who really don't even need it. But, you know, that's the way, that's kind of like the way I see it. Now he's sending bodies now instead of AK-47s.
He's also sending a very important thing called propaganda and messaging. And what he is using this opportunity to prove is what his constituency believes, that black people cannot manage themselves. And they don't have the wherewithal. They do not desire to live a decent life. They are out of control. Their children are out of control, and we have left it to them to correct the situation. And it seems impossible to correct. So now we have to send in people that we will compel them to listen to. That makes Trump a very strong leader.
But
and believe it or not, this is, as you know, this
themselves.
Is big time stuff in politics. This will get him quite a few kudos, even from people who would ordinarily not like him at all.
Yeah, I know black people don't even believe that they can control themselves, because I remember a couple of years ago, they were calling for the Federal Reserve to come in to quell the violence in Chicago. But then when they saw what happened in Ferguson, you know, then they stopped calling for federal troops, because they understood that you send in the federal troops, you know, you're not, you know, you get what you, you know, that phrase, you get what you ask for, you know. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically the, you know, I think black people have finally woken up and say, okay, we don't want federal troops to quell the violence. But, you know, unfortunately, it's too late, because now we got a guy who's going to be sending in troops or sending
right.
in federal agents.
But it's at the same time, it is being set up as the prototype. Wherever we say things are not working well, we will correct it with military force. Now, some people would make a strong point by saying, this didn't just happen. When you shut down the schools, when you refuse to properly service areas, like picking up the garbage on time, making sure that people are safe in, you know, enforcing rules that do exist. There's no reason for children, young children, to be out in the street at 3 and 4 and 5 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if the alternative to being out in the street is to be in rat-infested apartments that are owned and regulated by the city, when the city stops doing its job, it creates chaos. Chaos creates opportunity, not necessarily the opportunity you would encourage, but these are natural consequences of ignoring the city falling down on the job, not being able to do it right. And thinking, after all, that this is what these people deserve. They don't have to extend themselves and do their jobs. They just let it cave in. The city would cave in on itself. Lawlessness will become normal. And it is not that people are setting out to commit crimes. They are going with the opportunities that they see they have, given the conditions that they're living in, 24 hours a day. When you don't have jobs for young people, you don't have training programs for young people, you have malfunctioning schools, and we could go on and on. These are the things that would create disorder no matter who is living there. It will create massive disorder.
And one last thing, Eutrice, when it is easier for a child to get a gun rather than a gallon of milk, then basically you have the scenario that you had just mentioned.
Yeah, you create this scenario, and then people live accordingly. They have no power, these young people who are in gangs and whatnot now. They had no responsibility or power to change the conditions of life in their communities. That was the city council's job. That was the mayor's job. That was Congress's job, the federal authorities. You know, you look at Flint. Look at how many people were infected with awful toxic water by design. The people who came down with all kinds of diseases that are not easily fixed, that are life-threatening, literally, they didn't have the power to sign up the city for water supply from wherever they could get it, like in Detroit. Those were the officials who did that.
Yeah,
but they suffered the direct consequences of it.
And everybody's focusing on President Assad for gassing his people, but nobody calls for Flint to be held accountable for chemical warfare against their own people.
Exactly. So we always have to keep, you know, in mind that it isn't as clearly defined as Trump and others would have it. It is a long story, and they are all, Republican and Democrat alike, they're all responsible.
Amen.
For creating the situation that we have now. Well, yep. Let's take a break and come back to your perspectives at 888-874-4888 right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories, and you're listening to – I saw a very interesting thing just happen here at my desk, and that's why I paused. A butterfly landed and flapping its wings. Then another butterfly came around flapping its wings, and there are now four butterflies on my desk. How do you explain that? What is the meaning of this thing? Well, I attract butterflies. That's what I could say. But anyway, I was in the process of saying, you're listening to Lead Stories on PRN, and there are four butterflies on my desk. Okay, so much for that. The number is 888-874-4888. And, you know, it's good to talk things through because, number one, we don't get the opportunity too often to talk so that other people can hear us and could follow our reasoning about things, or that we could trade information. Today is a good example. We got community activism updates from Baltimore, from New York, from Brooklyn, New York meaning Manhattan, Brooklyn, Chicago. This is what we're supposed to be doing on radio, facilitating a connection among ourselves so that we can see things differently. And if we see things differently, chances are we will operate differently. We won't get flustered, although so much encourages us to do exactly that, to become flustered. Oh my God, what will Trump do today? Let him do what he wants to do. He is a creature of the system. And we know we should not be surprised about anything that he does. The media looks like, well, yeah, we can't stand him either. But they're not doing anything about it. You know, they don't like him today, they'll like him tomorrow. Or they like him today, they won't like him tomorrow. Either way, it has nothing to do with how we should be living. The various systems that impact our lives daily, and it seems, without any kind of fuss being made about the consequences for millions of people. So you have to see it that way, in the sense that you have to assume more and more direct responsibility for your survival. That's what I mean when I say you have to place survival at the top of the list. Systemically and institutionally, we are not seeing that anybody really is coming to our defense. It's not about that. They're also looking to survive. And they have to learn. I mean, we are automatically tuned to the idea that we're under attack and distress. But they've been surviving for this long under the illusion that life will be great. Now they're getting a little taste, and people are freaking out. Don't join them. Instead, move strategically. Think about what you need to do, because that is the number one imperative. It has always been, when you look at it, really. Our forebears didn't have the luxury of doing all the strategic thinking. Their only strategic thinking was to survive. The madness that surrounded them. And that in itself is exquisite instruction. You cannot have the enemy take hold of your brain every day, putting you under extreme pressure to the point where you can't function. All you see is that you will inevitably lose. You will be vanquished. You will be a distant memory. That's not what is supposed to happen to us. So we have to think very carefully. How do we save as much money as possible from the little money that we make and have. How do we work that miracle? How do we learn that lesson of how to survive with little, very little, saving as much as possible? How do we stretch pennies? That was a survival lesson given to us centuries ago. We were geniuses at it. The plan was to just annihilate people, just get them out of the way, in preparation for the next leg of the plan. But our genius forebears kind of spotted it. And they said, hey, this is what we have to start doing now. See? These are very, very, very ingenious ways of dealing with the crisis that we are in and have been for a long time. What are you doing? What are we doing? You see, we already are so well-groomed. We see the solution. We have to go to the same people trying to do us in. We're looking for solutions from them. How crazy is that? No, let them do what they want to do. Because the number one agenda item for all sides is, what are we going to do with these useless people? How are we going to get rid of them? Survival is number one. Is it Kide or Keed from New York? Hello, I see your name, but I don't know how to pronounce it. All right, I'm going to go with Kide. Keed. Okay. Thank you for joining us today. And we're getting an echo, which means something is on, and it's coming back to us.
Let me see what I can do about that.
Okay.
Is the echo still there?
No.
Okay, great. Great. Much appreciated for taking my call, Sister Utrice.
Not at all. I'm delighted that you call. So what have you to say today?
Well, in the vein of the previous calls, I didn't get to hear the very beginning to know what the theme was, but
Okay. On Free Your Mind Fridays, just so you know, we have no theme. It is something you are free to express an opinion about something that is especially important to you, and that we can share in your view. So we don't follow a strict theme on Fridays. It's really just you talking about things that are important to you.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate it again. And in the vein of discussing the toxic conditions that the state is insisting on providing for us, I wanted to alert people to an action that's currently going on around MDC in Brooklyn, which is the Metropolitan Detention Center. It's a federal detention center here in the city in Brooklyn. And at present, people are calling in and faxing and emailing MDC on account of those imprisoned at MDC for the last week now have not had access to clean water and are being advised not to take tours. People are developing skin rashes, and it's not a new development per se. This is the most recent egregious violation of the human rights of inmates in MDC. Just a month or so ago, There was another issue where there was no air conditioning in the facility, and people weren't even being given access to the ice machines. So it's both the negligence that we expect as well as the outright attacks on human rights, which we have also come to expect.
Now, what kind of people, what kind of inmates are there at the facility? Are these inmates awaiting trial or have just had their trial and are awaiting permanent assignment? Or
right.
What are they, just transitory?
Right, right. No, great question. I'm glad you asked, because yes, MDC is a federal detention center. So primarily those who are inside of MDC are those who have yet to be tried or they're awaiting sentencing. There are some woman inmates that are currently being held there after a transfer from Connecticut, if I'm not mistaken, because there were problems at that facility. But primarily it's individuals who, have yet to face trial or have recently been sentenced and have yet to be transferred. And many of the individuals who've been caught up in these terrorist raids against so-called gangs that the state, city and federal slave catchers have been bringing in behind these so-called gang affiliations using RICO charges, many of those individuals are being held at MDC as well as at MCC, which is in Manhattan.
Is there an organization that you know of that is particularly concerned about this and might be spearheading some of the activities that you are suggesting that people become involved in?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's a growing number of organizations. So what I would say is this particular call out was sent by IWOC NYC. IWOC stands for Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee. And a number of other organizations have been working around this issue and the growing raids issue in New York. A coalition of organizations and individuals called Stop the Raids has been working around this issue as well. And definitely those who would like to get involved could reach out to Stop the Raids. And there's a listserv, which is stoptheraids@riseup.net.
Okay, so could you repeat that? And if you have any phone numbers to share, this would be a good time to do that.
Definitely. That email address is stoptheraids@riseup.net. The email address for the New York City IWOC is IWOC@riseup.net. And the number for MDC is 718-840-4200. And their fax number, and faxes in particular, can be rather effective. Their fax number is 718-840-5005. And there's a website called faxzero.com where you can send at least a few free faxes per day if people wanted to opt for that option.
So what are people to demand at this point?
Well, essentially the human rights of those who are imprisoned at MDC, particularly their right to clean or potable water. And there's a social media page around this particular event that just went up today. It's on Facebook. If you search MDC needs safe water, it outlines, these these details, as well as giving kind of a rough script for how you might want to articulate your demands to those that you reach at MDC. But essentially, that's it. The respect for the human rights of those who are in the custody of the state or the federal government at present. I mean, it's beyond absurd and barbaric not to ensure that they have access to clean water when there's nowhere else for them to go. And particularly in a place like MDC, where inmates don't even have access to regular sunlight or outside air. And it's had numerous issues over the years. The Association of Women Judges, just in the past few to several months, issued a statement speaking out against the conditions at MDC. And so these are not new problems, but this is particularly barbaric not to allow for clean drinking water and showering water, et cetera, for enslaved, imprisoned individuals for now going on a week, at least 6 days.
Wow. That is a very sad situation. And we should try to the best of our ability to express our outrage that human beings are being treated this way. Thank you so much for bringing this to our attention, Keed. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you so much, Sister Utrice, and thank you for the platform and excellent show in general.
Thank you. Well, we've come to the end of our program today, and our very last call illustrated the whole point as it assembled itself. This today, our theme assembled itself, that we see what is on the horizon, and we're still allowing the people who mean to do us in succeed at that. We need to go with a whole different program. And we need to construct that ourselves. This is our task. This is our work. So let's get busy about thinking and rethinking those things that apply directly to what? Our survival. Here we just have an example. It's water. Water. And then talking all these big things about what they're going to do to maintain order in our society, and there's no water. Basic. Nobody's addressing the question of how do these people survive. I don't mean nobody, but you know, nobody in the bureaucracy. This is not a priority item. And we have to insist it is a priority item. So we have work to do. We certainly do. I want to thank you all. I tell you, this to me is an energizer when people get together and just start trading information. This is a very powerful tool. And used properly, used well, it by itself can cause a great deal of beneficial change to people who are suffering without cause. So this is the weekend. Surround yourselves with very positive people who add dimension to your life. You should always have a pair of sneakers handy to run like hell away from people who don't. And you think about the future and what you can do to create a positive future for those coming behind us. That is our duty. Because it was done for us, and that's why we're here in large measure, because people in their own way, they didn't have to have degrees in community organizing, they just saw injustice, and they organized against it with whatever it is they had as tools to organize. But now it's our turn, and we have to become involved. But we must think. We must think before we do. All right. So have yourselves a great weekend with those people who reinforce that spirit. And we'll see each other on Monday. Bye-bye.
Be my baby. Stop.